の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩目の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩つまずく。This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world unite and catch up on the team that has incredible fireworks during All-Star festivities, but not very much other than that. I'm your host, T-Ray. Today is July the 17th, and this is episode 102. Welcome to the show, and joining me today, speaking of all around the world, halfway around the world, in Hawaii, is Sanjay. How are you doing, buddy?
Aloha, T-Ray. I'm doing all right. And ready to take on some more Hanshin Tigers English news.
All right, man. Well, we got a little break from the team. We got a break from some losses, and then we got to see some exciting stuff during All-Star games, and then we went right back to losing, didn't we? So hopefully that is going to come to an end tonight, but that remains to be seen. Anyhow, we're not too happy with how things have gone with the team. I think it's pretty safe to say that. Even though we are tied for third, we are now, I think, four games below 500. So looking pretty bad. 11 and a half games back of the Giants. And, of course, in danger of falling into fifth place. And last place is still a ways away, but there's still lots of baseball left. But before I get too pessimistic on us, let's talk a little bit about some rumors and some news.
Rumors and news. Rumors and news. Rumors and news. Rumors and news.
So I guess the best bit of news, and we'll take this one right off the top, is that we have signed a new import, and he is expected to arrive in Japan real soon. His name is Jan-Hervis Solarte. I don't know how to pronounce it right, but that's my best guess. He played for the Toronto Blue Jays, New York Yankees, San Diego Padres, and he got released, I think, by the Yankees at the start of the year and joined the Marlins AAA team. He did not make their 40-man roster. And so Hanshin jumped on this chance, and he will be coming over here. He plays all the infield positions, but in particular middle infield, but can also play some outfield. So it seems like quite a utility guy. He's a switch hitter. And the big thing that all the reporters here are saying is he's got 75 major league home runs. Whoop-de-doo. So, I mean, that's kind of his sales point, or they're saying this is going to be the guy that helps the team to get some offense at last. But any thoughts on this one, Sanjay?
Well, first of all, I'm very excited that we're getting some new blood into the system. I'm also very happy that this guy is, you know, such a useful, well, in terms of from the manager's perspective, he would fit in anywhere on the field and also in the batting lineup, and you don't have to worry about batting righty or lefty, you know, versus the pitcher. So it gives a huge amount of flexibility and, you know, probably gives Yano a lot of options on picking other players for his roster because he has so much flexibility with this one guy. So I know you'll talk about this later on, but just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, for sure. Well, another thing about him, he will bring the energy. I mean, I've seen some of the videos of him playing with the other Giants, the American Giants, as well as even with the Blue Jays. Seems like a real energetic guy, real positive, like just fun, loving guy who just loves the game. And so hopefully that will rub off on our team as well. I mean, not that our guys don't love the game or anything, but hopefully it'll bring just that a little bit more, you know, positive energy that the team seems to be lacking of late.
Totally agree.
So yeah, he just turned 32 years old, and I don't know if this is just a short-term rental and if he's looking to get back to the majors, but at age 32, I don't know, unless he performs really well here, I don't know if any major league team is going to hop on board. So I don't know. I mean, if he does reasonably well, but not excessively well, he might be around for longer. And so in a way, you almost expect, or I should say hope for moderate success this year and then follow that with some incredible success in 2020. But anyways, that's another talk for another show, and it might be in a couple weeks or in a month's time. Who knows? So actually the day before that, I believe it was, or maybe the same day, Hanshin announced a trade. So this is the second thing on our list, and it involved a right-handed 28-year-old reliever for a right-handed 27-year-old reliever. Not really sure what this does for us. But Tsuyoshi Ishizaki, it's been nice knowing you as a Tiger. You are now a member of the Chiba Latte Marines. And Keisuke Takano, welcome to the club. Hopefully you fit in and you get some opportunities and prove yourself to be a valuable acquisition. This is the third reliever that we have traded away, or third, I guess, minor pitcher. I don't know if Enokita counts as reliever or starter. He's kind of both. But, you know, the guys we've gotten in return have not really done too much. We got Yosuke Okamoto for Enokita. We got Yuya Iida for Ryoma Matsuda. And now we've got Keisuke Takano. So I don't think it's going to impact the team in a huge way. But Takano actually made his debut on the farm Tuesday night. He pitched a four-pitch inning. It was a 1-2-3. I think it was the sixth or seventh inning of that game. And I don't know, if you can get three outs and four pitches, you're doing something right.
I guess he can throw strikes, huh?
Yeah, I guess so, which is a good thing because somebody last night didn't. Anyways, we'll get to that later as well. But actually, I got some insider info on this one from a journalist friend of mine who actually was having dinner with Chiba Latte rep the day of the trade or the day before the trade. And he said, hey, tomorrow there's going to be a big announcement. And he actually said, it's either going to be a 1-for-1 trade or a 2-for-2 trade. And so what my buddy speculated was maybe we were going to send one of our outfielders, perhaps Egoshi, out that way. And it just didn't fall through. And so it ended up being a 1-for-1 trade. But that would have been interesting just to see them actually try to get some hitting help, which is what they needed. I'm surprised that they didn't trade Ishizaki away for a hitter. Because given the state of the lineup, you know, we need hitters more than we need pitchers. But it is what it is, right?
Well, since we are speculating, can we even go further down that rabbit hole and say, isn't it kind of interesting that Egoshi might have been involved in a trade, and yet not long thereafter he gets called up instead of Shunsuke?
Yeah, I think so. And then later Shunsuke got called up and then sent down, and Egoshi had gotten sent down and he got called back up as well. It's been a little bit of escalator action happening between the farm and the top squad lately. But yeah, that is kind of interesting for sure. So I don't know. I mean, it might have been somebody other than Egoshi. I mean, again, this is just my buddy speculating. So speaking of guys that have made appearances on the farm, Yuya Yokoyama, who was actually drafted in the first round ahead of Tsuyoshi Ishizaki back in 2014, had some off-season surgery and made his first mound appearance last week, and then he made a second one last night. And so he got, I think, three strikeouts in his first appearance. He smashed Sanderson between a couple of singles. No, the singles were sandwiched between the strikeouts. and then also I think he had a clean inning last night as well. So he is a development player right now, and I can't imagine that status changing at least this season. But I mean, if he keeps showing himself to be strong and capable for the rest of this season on the farm, he may end up going back double digits for 2020. So it'd be nice because our first round picks of late have not been very shiny, sparkly, star-like figures.
I don't know if a certain couple of draftees from last year might feel a little bit differently about your comment.
Well, okay, so one of them is a sparkly star and he was a first round pick, but yeah, besides him, we'll say. Anyways, yeah. So speaking of first round draft picks, though, and besides Chikamoto, who we'll get to later as well, Yuta Iwasada, who was the first round pick the year before Yokoyama, he started the game on the farm last night. That's Tuesday night, and he went two innings pitched, allowed one hit, no runs, and struck out two. I guess that's a good sign. I know he battled the flu, and then he battled some other injury. I think it might have been a hernia or something. I think it was a back injury, though. So I guess the road for him to come back has been a slow one, but you know, that could be another addition to the rotation later in the season.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah. But also, speaking of pitchers, our boy Randy Messenger, and we'll get to this in the recaps, but he got farmed on July the 11th. And apparently it is not going to be just for the minimum 10 days. It is going to be indefinite, which doesn't mean it's going to be like 2 months. It just means that they don't have a plan for when to call him back up. I think it'll depend on how he feels about his stuff and so on and so forth. But as we'll see later in the recaps, he hasn't been himself, certainly in July, but really, I mean, truth be told, for much of the year, he has not been his usual self. So we'll see what happens with the soon-to-be 38-year-old.
I think the few comments that I was trying to read between the lines, it made it seem like there was some mutuality in that decision, and that Yano was going to leave it to a man as accomplished as Randy to kind of, you know, figure out his own way back up kind of thing.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, it's a little bit different than guys like Shintaro, who's still, you know, struggling on the farm. So, yeah, I think with Randy, he's more than capable of kind of knowing his own body and knowing his own pitches and stuff. So, yeah, time will tell on that one. Mm-hmm. But a couple more guys, speaking of the hospital beds and the farmlands, Fukudome actually made his first in-game appearance on the farm last night as well. And by the way, they played at Koshien last night. They won 2-1 against the Little Carps. But Fukudome went 0-3. But the good news is he didn't get pulled from the game at all. He actually went all the way through. He was not pulled for a pinch runner or anything. So, I mean, time will tell. But it looks like he could be ready for action within, say, a week or two, you know, just depending on how things go. Speaking of injuries, on Monday night, Jeffrey Marte, who has been hitting quite well lately, actually went to stretch a single into a double, and he was successful, but he also injured his left knee in the process and was sent back to Osaka, as the team is on the road right now in Nagoya, sent back to Osaka for a closer check from the doctors. And so at present, we don't know if he's going to be deactivated or not, but all signs point to no. At least that's what the news reports are telling me.
Yeah, I read something today, which I don't know if that was before or after what the news you quoted, but Yano implied that he thought it was his calf and that it was something that was bothering him from before. That's what he made it sound like. And this might have been before he had any further insight into what was wrong. So, you know, treat it with a grain of salt. But that it may have been something that wasn't totally brand new, and maybe something that they can work their way around.
Right. Well, so his start this season was delayed by a month because of a calf injury. So if it is a reaggravation of that, I'm not feeling too good about that. But the good news is, like, even though he lay on the ground for a couple of minutes after it happened, he did end up getting up on his own 2 feet and walking off. Actually, he played an inning before he actually called it a night. So it isn't that kind of devastating injury at the very least. But we'll see how the team does and if they use precaution or not. And if they just say, hey, this is perfect because we were trying to figure out what to do about Solarte, and now we can just deactivate Marte and we're back to where we were. We can keep our other three imports up and we're fine, even though we're not fine. So, yeah, I mean, that's another thing that's going to come into play. And I think we may have talked about this a little bit at some point. Anyways, what's the team going to do for imports? Because if Solarte comes up and if Marte is still doing well, then we've got two good fielders, or potentially anyways, and then we've got Johnson and Dolis and Garcia on the top squad as well as pitchers. And so you can't keep all five. What do you do is going to be the question that they're going to have to work around if Marte is still healthy.
Yeah, and this is interesting because I had always been reading the names in katakana. It wasn't exactly as evident to me, but now that you keep mentioning it a couple times, they rhyme. Solarte and Marte, man, they're the brothers, the Bash brothers. We should keep them both on.
Yeah, I think that would be best, and I read a little bit about that as well, and I mean, look at our lineup, look at our run production. Why would we not bring another guy in? But yeah, we can talk about that maybe a little bit later on in the show, something like that, because speaking of which, I don't think I announced what the topic of the night is, and I'll do that right now. That is, we're going to talk about the shortstop situation. Specifically, we've got too many of them, and what are we going to do to remedy that? So we will do that a little bit later on the show. But right now, let's look back on the fortnight that was in the recaps. So we left off, Sanjay, last time after a tough loss to the DeNA Bay Stars. That was on July the 3rd, 2nd, somewhere on there, July 2nd, yes. We lost to the Bay Stars, and it was pretty unfortunate. So we had two more, and we were on a four-year winning streak in Yokohama as far as series go. But we ended up dropping this series. We won game two, 4-3. It was the first time that Chikamoto didn't start a game in a long time, and he came through in the end of the game. And so did Itoi and Oyama in the eighth inning, and then Itohara. Actually, it was Chikamoto's double that led things off. He stretched it into three bases because of a fumble in center, and then Itohara sack flied him in the 11th inning. So we got that one 4-3, even the series. But in the rubber match, we completely fell apart. Messenger again, he was not himself in this one. Allowed one home run, but allowed, I think, was it four runs in five innings? something like that. He's followed up by Moria and Nomi, each serving up a sweet potato tater as well to the other team. So we lost that one 2-7, lose the series 2-1. First series loss, I believe I heard, since May 2015 in Yokohama. So it was a pretty good stretch. Too bad it came to an end.
Yeah, our home away from home.
Yeah. But, I mean, we still didn't get swept. I don't know. So let's take that positive from that. And also, let's go into the next series, which is against the Carp. Oh, the stumbling, bumbling, fumbling. Whatever happened to these Hiroshima Carp come to town? And I was thinking, you know, Hanshin is notorious for helping bad teams out of their slumps and for breaking other bad teams' bad streaks. And I thought, well, Hiroshima was coming into this one on, what, like a 5-game losing streak or something like that? And I was like, okay, well, here we go. This streak is going to come to an end. No guy. We win 3-1, 8-5, 1-0, sweep the Carp at home. And the Carp just continued this spiral. But since this isn't HSEN, this is H10, let's talk about the Tigers side of this. So in the 3-1 win, by the way, did you catch any of these games?
I did, actually. I managed to sneak in a few innings here and there. And I, like you, I couldn't believe what was going on. And for once, you know, we came on the right side of this streak busting.
Yeah, usually the Carp and their big hitters come up big against us, but not the case in this one. Iwata threw a gem on the Friday night game, and we won that one 3-1 thanks to a Marte home run that tied it up, and then an Itoi double that gave us the lead. It was a 2-run RBI, so that was nice. The 8-5 win certainly was not a pretty one on the mound. I think Aoyagi was our starter, but he didn't end up getting the win. But in this one, it was just like two heavyweights just going at it, even though neither team is a true heavyweight this year. But the Tigers, I think, only relinquished the lead once, and that was when the Carp tied it up 3-3. And then it just kept going back and forth, but the Tigers were getting more runs than the Carp. And it was capped, or it was certainly the punctuation mark, was Itohara's first home run of the season, a beauty of a line drive into the right field stands. Three-run shot giving us a 6-3 lead. And yeah, like I said, we never relinquished it after that. So
yeah, I happened to be actually up late that night, and I caught that Itohara home run, and I was like, yes!
And I know you're a big Itohara fan, so yeah.
And also, though, one you know, prop where I think it's due, Yano was very decisive in yanking Aoyagi early in that game. And I think that, you know, instilled a lot of confidence in the team and kind of brought the momentum back to our team again.
I would say so too, yeah, yeah, because there have been times that he has let the starter kind of linger in there a bit too long, and in this one, that was not the case, so it was nice to see. It was good to see him make that decisive move right there. So yeah, and that brings us into Sunday with momentum in our favor and Haruto Takahashi on the mound for us. He's been really good this year, and this day was no exception. In fact, like his first professional game, I think, on the top squad was against the Carp last year, and he was excellent in that one and just as good in this one. We win 1-0, as I said, and Oyama with the RBI double in the 7th inning. So what about this T-Ray theory about Oyama not performing well late in games? Aha! He doesn't perform well after 8 p.m. The game was 0-0 all the way through, and it was 7:52-ish when he hit that RBI double. So the theory stays alive.
Oh, you're the man.
Yeah, you like that grin on my face, even though you can't see it? You know it's there, the smirk. It's there. So yeah, 3-0 series win. Props, though, to Oyama for coming through in this one, as well as in the game against the Bay Stars. So we've got a couple of games where he's actually done something late in the game that mattered, which is nice. But that's it. That's the end of it, because we're coming into a 5-game losing streak now, or that we're currently riding. 3 straight against the Giants. I was at 2 of the 3. I'm sad that I was at one of those 2 games, but let me get you through the action here. First of all, on Monday, we lost 3-4. I think it was tied 3 each until the 8th inning, and Johnson gave up a run in that one on a ground ball. It wasn't even a hit. But the problem in this one was not Pierce Johnson giving up that run. The problem is that Sanjay, I don't know if you caught this game or if you saw the box score, but I think we got 19 guys on base, 3 runs. Think about that average, though. And honestly, like, if you look back at the box score, we had 2 or more guys on base every inning except for 1.
Yeah, I saw your write-up on H10 after the game, and I thought, man, that's got to be some kind of record. And then I made the comment actually that when you look it up, we had 17 runners on base twice last year. So
Yeah, left on base, yeah. Yeah. So, but this one was consistent. I mean, inning after inning, the chances were there. You think about it, if you had two guys on base, it means one of them was in scoring position. So 8 out of 9 innings, we had risk. And we didn't do enough with it to get us the win. We should have.
shoulda.
We definitely should have. Yeah. And so poor Nishi for not getting that win, even though, he didn't pitch an awesome game, but 6 innings pitched and 3 runs against is still a quality start. And I think he did his job. But the bats, again, didn't. And the next day, of course, they didn't either because we lost that one 0-1. Garcia pitching a gem of a game in this one. It was only in the 8th inning that he also gave up a ground ball out RBI. That was the only run of the game. So we lost that one 0-1. And then on Wednesday, I was at the game as well. And this one we lost 1-4. Messenger blew up in the first 2 innings. I think he gave up all 4 runs in those 2 innings and on 5 hits. And he just was not looking sharp at all. And he got pulled. And I think, I could be wrong, but that might be his shortest start ever, not counting the one last year when he got ejected against the Carp for arguing balls and strikes.
I think you're right there.
So on Monday, I was at the game with a guy named Rick, who has been a wonderful listener of the show and sponsor of the show. He sponsors us on Patreon. He's sponsored a couple of Kickstarter campaigns and stuff. So of course, I think the world of him. He's helping make my life a lot more enjoyable in that respect. But even just sitting down talking to him about baseball and the Tigers and enjoying a game with somebody coming all the way out from Texas to Japan to watch a game, and I'm just sorry that he didn't get to see Hanshin come down with the win. But good times. So anyone else out there, if you're listening, if you're coming to town for a game, I mean, I can't guarantee that I will be there with you, but there's always a chance. Let me know. I would love to meet some of the other listeners of the show. So Sanjay, that means you as well. We've met, but come on out to see a Tigers game with me sometime. I would love that, man.
We need to do that. You know what needs to happen? In an ideal world, the Rakuten Eagles and Hanshin Tigers are going to play in the Japan series, and I are going to go watch them in both stadiums.
Yes. We'll storm both stadiums for all 7 games.
There you go.
That'd be awesome. All right, so after that humiliation at the hand of the Giants, which, by the way, that was the third 3-game sweep of the year at the hands of the Giants. And that is the first time in 24 years that has happened, and I'm sure it's the first time ever that it's happened before the All-Star break. But a much-needed All-Star break, and surprisingly, we had some All-Stars. And even more surprising, perhaps, is that they performed exceptionally well. So first, let's look at the fresh All-Star game, which is set aside for the rookies and sophomores. Generally, it's like an under-25, very inexperienced group, but the guys that are supposed to be the future faces of the game. So it's Western League against Eastern League, and we had five guys, pardon me, repping our team. Takahiro Kumagai hit an RBI single. Ryuhei Obata, who is a shortstop, 18-year-old, he walked and stole a base. Kosuke Baba, our first-round pick in 2017, had one inning pitched and 3 strikeouts.
Wow.
And then Yukiya Saito also had 1 inning pitched. He was our fourth-round pick this past fall. 6 pitches to get out of that 1 inning. So almost pulled a Takano there. Pretty good stuff. And then Yuya Katayama was the other guy that represented us, but nothing really happened with him. But still, the Western League won 5-1, and good stuff from our guys at that one. But the big show really was the big show, was it not?
Absolutely.
So I actually I don't watch, or I don't make it a priority to watch the All-Star games either, but I kind of had, I was paying a little bit of attention. And of course, I watched the highlights and read all the news articles and everything. And so Umino had an infield hit. Chikamoto stole a base as a pinch runner, but then also was caught stealing on his second attempt later in the game. But the big story in this one was with the Central down 6-1. Fumihito Haraguchi, who was voted into the All-Star game as the plus one, the final vote-in by the fans. And some people saying, "Ah, oh, he's a sentimental favorite. He didn't really deserve it." And they're exactly right. He still said, "Hey, you want sentiment? You got it." And he hit a 2-run home run in the 9th inning. So for all of those who are coming back from cancer, fighting cancer, or even know anybody that's doing that, I mean, that's just a huge encouragement to them, a shot in the arm, and everybody went home happy. Even though the Central team lost, I think everybody on both sides was just thrilled with the outcome of the game, and especially that 9th inning. The big one was Saturday, though, at Koshien Stadium, where, of course, our boys got into the starting lineup and all of our pitchers got onto the mound. It was raining throughout this game, Sanjay, and the rain actually got progressively worse, and it was almost like a game two of the 2017 Climax series out there. It was getting really ugly.
Yeah, I didn't realize it until the next morning when I saw shots of Fujikawa pitching. But I did get to watch the first couple innings, so I saw all the fireworks, and I said, okay, this is where I'm going to sleep. You know, if I'm dreaming, don't wake me, because this is just too perfect.
Yeah, so bottom of the first, Chikamoto is leading off, and he leads off with a home run. And they got another run in that inning, and so they got all the way down to the seventh hitter, who was Fumihito Haraguchi, the DH. And he led off the bottom of the second inning with a home run. And he was followed by Ryutaro Umeno, who was the number eight hitter, and he hit a home run. And so that was pretty impressive stuff, actually very impressive stuff. Chikamoto also came to the dish in that inning, hit a double, and it was a six-run inning for the Central. Long story short, the Central wins 11-3. Koji Chikamoto hits for the cycle. He had five hits, including four extra base hits. Ties a CL record for most hits in a game. Tied an All-Star record for most hits in a game, a nine-inning game. I think he had the most extra base hits ever with four. He's the second in history to hit for the cycle. He followed 1992 Atsuya Furuta. Did you see the highlights of his triple though, Sanjay? The one at the end.
Yes, I did, and I guess there is some purists are not as happy about it as others may be, but you know, it's a party, and that's the way the game is played now, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to pee on the parade, then go ahead. But you know, it is a party and a festivity, and I mean. Yeah, so what happened was that left fielder Akiyama didn't necessarily run his fastest to get to the ball. I mean, it was a hit anyways. It was a hit off the wall. It would have been a double either way. And then the relay throw came into the shortstop. I don't remember who it was. And he kind of pump faked. And the way I saw it, there was a runner heading home. So he kind of pump faked home. And then he threw to Matsuda at third base, who actually missed the ball and tried the tag but missed. Or made the tag but without the ball. And it definitely looked like wrestling out there, you know, like it looked very choreographed. And it probably was.
Yeah,
it probably was.
You're not the first one who said that, but they were all, look, he got five hits. They were all legit hits. It's not like, you know, they dropped the ball on purpose or something.
And four of them were extra base hits, either way you look at it. And actually, his first double, I argued this somewhere, I think maybe on Twitter, that if it hadn't been for the rain, I think if the ground conditions were perfect, he would have been motoring right from the start, and he would have turned that into a triple. Because, and again, that's not an excuse saying, well, then he should have had a cycle anyways, but the conditions were terrible. And so, you know, you can also kind of make a case for the defense on that play, like Akiyama not, you know, rushing to get the ball and stuff. It's like, well, yeah, but he's running through a lake. So it's understandable. So anyways, all said and done, he won the MVP. Haraguchi won a couple awards as well. So they all went home with a little bit of extra money. And Haraguchi, this is a side note for everybody, he made a bracelet, which doesn't sound like big news until you hear that he used the money, some of the prize money that he got to make this bracelet. And he's giving away 500 of them to fans that enter the contest for them. So if you can find Haraguchi's homepage, his office's homepage, you can enter the draw. I think it goes until the 24th of July or something like that to win one of his bracelets. So I don't know, player swag that he decided to make out of pocket because he won an award. I think that's pretty classy. I love it.
And wasn't there some anti-cancer angle involved in that one as well? It was a pink bracelet, if I recall correctly.
I believe you're right. Yes. And I also saw a couple of cool t-shirts on the same website that he's selling that they're pretty expensive. And I don't know if the money goes towards cancer, but they're like $48. But they're really cool shirts. So I'm tempted to buy one. Anyhow, let's continue on with the recaps. Or maybe we should just not and just say that the Tigers lost two straight in Nagoya against the Dragons. 2-4 and then 2-3 walk-off loss. Our pitchers were good other than the final pitcher of these two games. And that was Taiki Ono, who walked a guy, gave up a double, which Chikamoto should have caught. And then there's an intentional walk. And then he walked in the final run. And the final pitch was about 2 feet wide of the zone. So he was clearly not mentally there or physically there, you know, to challenge the hitter. So, yeah, two straight losses there. And I don't even want to talk anything more about those two games. So there you have it. The Tigers losing five straight. And during this stretch of play that we are recapping, I think went 4-7. So not pretty at all. Well, there you have it, everybody. So the Tigers need something, someone to turn things around. And I don't know. I mean, it could be our boy Solarte who is coming, or it may not be. And before we get there, let's talk a little bit about No-No, Yano.
Yano!
Have you got anything, Sanjay, that you want to question our boy Yano for?
Not today. No, no.
No, no, Yano. No, you don't. Okay, well, I do. And it's, you know, this is a really hard thing to do just because, again, we don't know all the information or anything. But I've kind of felt like, you know, on one hand, we complained that Kanemoto changed the lineup around too much. But then on the other hand, I kind of feel like maybe Yano is not changing it around enough, especially the hitting lineup where guys are not getting hit. First of all, my biggest one is why Yokawa was batting fifth last night. I know that he hit a home run on Monday, but it's not like he pulled the ball or hit it with authority. It was an oppo field thing. And I don't know if the guy has had a single really good quality at bat since he has been called up or at all in the top squad this year. So I don't know why he was batting fifth, other than the fact that we needed someone to fill Marte's shoes. I would have put Haraguchi in and sat Yokawa on the bench, or sat Yokawa on the farm, or sat him down, you know, on the street begging for money or something. Because he didn't do anything at the plate. And I hate to say it. I mean, I've always wanted to cheer for the guy, but I just don't see him having a job next year. So, but that wasn't even the one I had written down. What I had written down was that he's been overusing Umeno and underusing Sakamoto, who's actually shown himself to be pretty good in the limited time he's had. Umeno is hitting terribly. He's batting 0.66 in July so far. And he's tiring. And what happens if Umeno gets hurt? You want somebody that's a little bit warmer than Sakamoto or Haraguchi to be ready. So I would say give Umeno some more rest, give Sakamoto or even Haraguchi some time behind the mask. That's my call, former catcher.
I actually really agree with you and what you're talking about, Umeno. And I think that we want to, nip this in the bud, as it were, because we don't want this to become like a future Toitani thing where you're keeping him in just for the sake of keeping him in. I believe Umeno made it loud and clear that he wanted to be playing every game, you know, of the season, which, yeah, it's a noble goal and people have done it. But let's be real, right? I mean, you both, for a risk management perspective, you don't want to be reliant on one guy 100%. And also, for the sake of the player, give him a break every so often, especially on a travel day or something like that. So I'm totally good with like Sakamoto coming in and playing, and you know, maybe Nagasaka and whoever. But the whole point, I think, is you want to be proactive in managing the rest for the players that you rely on a lot.
Yeah, I would say the rest of the way, maybe make it a 4-2. You know, they play 6 games a week and make it 4 Umeno and 2 Sakamoto or something like that would be kind of nice to see. So, Yano-san, if you, I know you listen for advice from idiots like me, but there's mine. Thank you. Punching Tigers English. Punching Tigers English. Punching Tigers English. Punching Tigers English. Hot topics. Hot topics. So, the hot topic for this week. We are looking at the situation at shortstop, and it couldn't be a more timely talk because of the news, as I said, of Jan-Hervis Solarte coming in. He's expected into Japan sometime maybe this weekend, and I even read that he might be ready for action on the top squad before the end of the month. So, the current situation is this, ladies and gentlemen. We have 4 shortstops on the top squad right now. We've got Seiya Kinami, Fumiya Hojo, Kai Ueda, and Takashi Toritani, these 4 guys. Now, since June the 19th, so we're talking about a month's worth of games. Of course, you know, we've had a couple of breaks in there, but Kinami has had 16 starts at shortstop, and Hojo has had 2 starts at shortstop. Again, that's the start of the game. And the total on the season is Kinami with 58, Hojo with 22, and one other guy has starts at short. Who is it?
Toritani?
It is, and he's got 6 starts. He got 6 starts back in April, everybody was hemming and hawing, saying, Genki ga nai, he doesn't have what it takes anymore. He doesn't have the energy, doesn't have the range, blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah, it's been really like a two-horse race since then, and with Kinami clearly winning that one out. But first thing that I want to ask you, between these four guys that are on the top squad, who do you prefer at shortstop and why?
Well, here's the deal. This is a cop-out of an answer. I don't dislike Kinami being the shortstop. I don't know everything that happens in practice and so on. I'm assuming that he's showing enough to sort of deserve that he earned the starting shortstop position. But I do think that, like your comment earlier about Umeno, I think Yano could give the kid a break. This is his first season in the pros, for crying out loud, right? So he hasn't been through all this. This is halfway through the season. He probably hasn't played this much baseball. Well, I don't know how industrial leagues are. Yeah, but give the kid a break, and don't put too much pressure on him. If Hojo's the guy, let him play for a bit, or even Toritani, I would even say, if you're going to leave his, behind Okoli on the bench, then you might as well put him in the game every so often.
Yeah, okay. So that's perfectly valid. Let me just kind of throw this at you as well.
Sure.
Currently in the Central League, Kinami is ranked third in errors with 11. And let's keep in mind, he's played in 74 games, and I don't know how many innings he's had in the field, but he's got 11 errors. And then Hojo, who's played in only 41 games, has 10 errors. He's fourth in the league in errors. And let's contrast that with, for example, he's got 10 errors. Kosuke Tanaka, who's played twice as much as him, has 9. Same with Sakamoto. Actually, he's got 8, but having played twice as much as Hojo, if not more, right? And these are also both shortstops. And then I forget who the Chunichi shortstop is. It would be Kyoda, right?
Kyoda, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm looking down this list, and I don't even see him on this list of on top error guys. Actually, Chunichi's got a great defense. So that kind of explains a bit of it. But yeah, so he's probably got 3 or fewer errors if he's not on the list. So both Kinami and Hojo have shown a real penchant for throwing very poorly or fielding very poorly. And this is my take on both of them then. They're neither great defenders, as evidenced by that, and also just even plays that haven't counted as errors, because there have been several for each of them that haven't made the record books. They're also not very good hitters. Kinami is slugging 338, and Hojo is slugging 304. Their OPSs are about the same, but Hojo has 4 doubles, and Kinami has 12 doubles. Kinami has 2 home runs and Hojo has 1. But neither of them is a great base runner. Neither of them is a great hitter, and neither of them is a great fielder. And so my thing is this: at the very least, I would love to see them use Kai Ueda when we're facing left-handed pitching, because that would bring him in as a right-handed hitter. And I think he's much better at the right side than the left side, even though he hit that home run against the Hawks from the left side. I would still say give Ueda some chances to start. He hasn't started a single game. He's been on the top squad this whole year. He's got speed. He's probably got better defense than either of those guys. At the very least, as far as range goes, he's better than those guys. So I would say give him a chance. And then my question, though, is what to do with Toritani?
That's the $4 million question, isn't it?
Well said, well put. Yeah, the $4 million question. So we can look at kind of the positives and negatives for keeping Toritani on the top squad. So first, the positives. He's got a presence, and he's definitely well-respected by his teammates, and he has excellent work ethic that when players see that and they see, like, man, this guy is making $4 million and sitting on the bench, and he could just mail it in, but look, he's not. I mean, that's showing these guys the right work ethic, and he's a great role model for the players in that respect. And so I think there's some value in having him around for that. There's value in having him around to kind of give advice or to coach Kinami and Hojo as they are, going through, bobbling the ball and so on and so forth. So there's value in that as well. I don't see value in him as a pinch hitter. And apparently neither does Yano, because he hasn't gotten many pinch hitting opportunities lately. I don't see value in him being a defensive replacement, because I don't think that's happened all year, or at least not since April. But the downside of it is that that's one guy that's occupying a roster spot that could be used by somebody else that at the very least could be that guy that comes in and gives us that what if, you know, like just for example, like a Nakatani, right? You put Nakatani in as that pinch hitter that comes in with, you know, where it's going to be home run or strikeout type of situation or whatever. And at least we've got a chance at redemption in those situations. So I don't know. I kind of feel like maybe the roster spot could be better used than it is with Toritani. But here's the other side of it. And I don't know if you've heard this one, Sanjay, but did you know that Toritani has never been on the farm since he was drafted?
That I did not know. Wow.
And so there's something to be said about that. And, you know, like maybe they're playing this like, okay, dude, we know you're retiring at season's end, but we're going to make this part of your legend, your legendary status, that you never once got sent down to the farm in your 16 years as a pro. I don't think that's reason enough to not do it, but I think that might be the angle that they're taking because this is Hanshin and sometimes they do silly stuff like that.
Especially because I've heard more than once that Toritani is considered future management material for the team.
Yep, definitely is. You know, even from the time they drafted him, they're like, this boy went to Waseda University. He's a future manager, because they said the same thing about Okada, and he was a future manager, right? So, yeah, I mean, I guess there's that possibility as well, but I don't think that's a reason for him to not get a taste of the farm. I mean, a better manager would be someone that knows what goes on at the, on the farm, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So there was another, I think it was an article I read that said there's several things that you could look at as far as what the problem is with Toritani. One, does he just not have his... what do you call it, like his fuel for the game, because he's not getting into games, he's not sharp. Well, if that's the case, you got to send him down to the farm so that he can get that, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that's the problem. If the problem is that he's slowed down, well, then you got to either send him to the farm or just like, you know, get him off the roster. Because if he's slowed down and if you're just leaving him on the bench, then you're not really doing anybody a service.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what to make of this, but As terrible as this sounds, and I think I might have said this on a past show, like I kind of almost wish he'd pull a Koji Uehara or an Ichiro and retire partway through the year. And if you look at what Ichiro did, or even do what Ichiro did in 2018, where he takes a role in the office, but then he also comes and does pregame workouts with the team and everything. Because didn't Ichiro do that last year?
Exactly. He spent the whole season almost with the team, leading by example.
Yeah, but he wasn't taking that roster spot, that precious roster spot. And I mean, honestly, at this point, is anybody kidding themselves? Like, do you think Toritani is going to make a run for it in 2020 and try to get a starting job again in his age 39 season? I don't think so. And so, I don't know. I mean, at this point, you know, if he doesn't retire in the next week, it's not going to happen because I think the rosters are finalized on July 31st.
I think you're right. And yeah, that would actually be a very wabi-sabi Japanese sense of beauty thing if he were to do something like that. But I don't know.
Yeah. So the other option at shortstop then becomes Jan-Hervis Solarte, who's coming in. And as I said, he has played some shortstop. And after a little bit of research, right before the show, right, Sanjay, we found out that one gaijin has played one game at shortstop with Hanshin. And that would be Andy Sheets, who did so in 2007 for one game. So as far as I know, he's the only one who has done it in the team's history. And we've always kind of had those long-serving shortstops like Yoshida, like...
Fujita.
Taira. Yeah, Taira Fujita and like Toritani, right? And even guys in the middle like Kuji and Fujimoto and guys like that. So, yeah, I don't know if there's been anyone else, but it would be interesting to see Solarte do that. So, now the question is, and we talked a little bit about this, but if you... Okay, with Solarte coming in, we've already kind of talked a bit about the Gaijin Mondai, right? The problem with who do you keep up on the top and who do you throw down. But just for the record, do you have any ideas about that? Like, let's assume Marte is healthy and Solarte comes in. Who do you drop down to the farm, man?
Yeah, and you know... I need to brush up a little bit on the intricacies of dropping people down and bringing them back up. But I think given how the team has been playing recently, the priority has to be on two fielders. You got to have the two of them in the two of the bats in the lineup. And you kind of work your way around the other three pitchers and figure out if you can do a little bit better without, you know, PJ or without Garcia or Dolis, you know, because and we've witnessed PJ having to go down for an extended period from overuse. So there must be an optimal way to balance those three out where you're getting the most out of each of them. And you got to put Marte and Solarte, the new Arte Bash brothers, in there and let them see what damage they can do. And this is where I was going to point out is that it's in the past few years, 2014 is when we had Gomez and Merton, and they were both having pretty darn good years. Gomez was 283, 26 home runs, 109 RBIs. Matt Merton was hitting 338, 14 dingers, and 84 ribbies. 2010, Craig Brazel, right? Mid-year import. And Matt Merton, between them, you know, Brazel hit 47 home runs. I mean, so if Solarte can do even half of that, I think, like, we've struck gold.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes. But I'm with you on that, to keep the Marte and Solarte up. And honestly, like, Solarte, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, he can take that shortstop job. Because nobody else is really filling it adequately. I'm not anti Kinami or Hojo, but I've just had it this year with them. I've had it with their poor fielding combined with poor hitting. I mean, if you can't do one of those right, you don't deserve the starting job. You have to be good at one of them.
Right. I know exactly what you mean. So this is something for a future episode. You can cut this off right now for this purposes. But I would really be interested in seeing what the advanced stats are that include both defense, including the range, and then their offense, and you kind of optimize it because, you know, it's like a win above replacement, right? But for the shortstops, you know, if you come up with a guy like Sakamoto from the Giants, he's the gold standard, right? You know, he can hit, he can field, he can do it all, right? But if you don't, then what if you tried to maximize the combined value between the offense and the defense? If they're not so good at defense, maybe their offense makes up for it. Whatever it is, there's got to be some metrics out there, and I know some of our guys don't have enough attempts to justify the statistics, but I would really be curious to see who comes out ahead in that. Maybe that's maybe that's Kinami. I don't know.
Maybe it is, and that's why he's the starter. Who knows? Yeah. But so then the question remains, if Solarte is up, okay, we haven't reached a conclusion on which foreigner gets thrown down to the farm, but I would almost do like I would say, okay, let's give Dolis a little bit of rest for a while and maybe give Johnson the ninth or even QG give him the ninth because he's just been smoke. He has been incredible this year. So it's not to say we can do without Dolis, but certainly, again, the priority is on hitting. Just like, you know, actually when Dolis actually got his first call-up, he was brought up because the priority was on pitching then, and they dropped Haig down, not because he was doing extremely poorly, but because they needed an extra arm in the bullpen. So, I mean, they could do the opposite here, and I think that wouldn't be a problem. And again, he is the closer, so, I mean, there's a certain amount of pride there, and he's definitely performing very well. I'd say maybe give him 10 days rest, and then maybe if you can find like a gap in the schedule and you start Garcia and then you give him 10 days rest and bring him back for, you know, give him a week off or whatever. He's been really good, by the way, since he's come back. ERA is 2.52 since his recall. But just kind of like rotating these guys a little bit and doing a little bit of load management a la Toronto Raptors might be a good decision for this team at this point. That having been said, who would you drop of these four shortstops that we have on the top squad? Kinami, Hojo, Ueda, and Toritani. I'll tell you right now who mine is, and it's probably an unpopular choice, and it's not Toritani. Actually, it's him too, but Kinami. I would actually say this kid, if he's got a future with the team, he needs to get in his reps. And so if we were, for example, to plug Solarte in as the starter and Kinami just came in occasionally, I don't think that is doing him a service as a first-year player. And I think that Hojo's got some value to stay on the top squad as a pinch bunter, or also, you know, he can work count as well. So he could be a pinch hitter and get some walks or even occasionally get a hit. I think he's got a bit more value than Kinami in that respect. So I would drop Kinami and give him lots of reps down on the farm, or more reps down on the farm. Kinami's also more versatile. He could play a bit of second base or third base on the farm as well if that was needed. But so that's what I would do. I would say Tori and Kinami get down, and then Solarte, Ueda, and Hojo become the three options at short. And even, you know, Itohara is there as an emergency backup. He can also play short. So we still have more than enough guys. That's my thoughts.
All right. Well, I think we mentioned this before like the two most recent episodes, but the discussion about playing Itohara at shortstop and putting Uemoto in at second base and kind of having that pop in there. And those are all options. And I'm hopeful that management has been thinking about everything, and they're trying to put the best team out there. Now that you've made your argument, I think, you know, dropping Kinami for the rest of the season might not be such a horrible thing. I really think that he has been asked to do too much. He's not quite pulling his weight at the moment. And so, yeah, in terms of developing, like I said, he's just a rookie. You know, if the best thing for him is to just give him some time to find himself on the farm and get the reps and, you know, get the muscle memory going and stuff, then, yeah, by all means, go for it. Because I didn't search deeply enough into the stats to see how Ueda fits into all of this. I thought maybe he was the most expendable, because we have a lot of guys who are similar to him with great speed on the first team, and that's really what, back when Kanemoto was bringing Ueda in, that's what he was looking for.
Yeah, fair enough. So just looking at Kinami, I mean, I know that slumps are slumps and players have to play through those, but he is batting 103 in July. Three hits, one run, no RBIs. So yeah, you're right. He's definitely not pulling his weight so far this month. 3 for 29. Yeah, so that being that, my final question in this whole shortstop issue is, who is the shortstop of the future for Hanshin? Because you've got Kinami, who's 25. You've got Hojo, who is turning 25, I think, in a couple weeks or a week and a half or so. You got Ueda, who is 23. And, of course, Toritani would not be the future shortstop. And then also, of course, there's farm guys, right? There's Kumagai, and there's also Obata down on the farm. Who have you got as our shortstop of the future?
This may sound like a really cold answer, but I don't think we have him on our roster yet.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, that's definitely interesting, especially considering that the last 2 years we've drafted guys that kind of fit that slot. And then we also drafted high schooler Kai Ueda, 5 years ago? So he's kind of around that ripe age as well. So if we don't have him yet, I don't know if we're going to go to that same well again. It's possible, but I personally think maybe the guy of the future is going to be Obata. And I just listened to an interview actually just earlier today with the farm manager, Hirata. And he was saying that, and you know, of course, he's pumping things up for the media, and he's also the farm manager, so he's got a bit of a bias. But he said, our second base and shortstop combination down on the farm, they're as good as any in the Central League top squad. And I mean, those are big words. That's a big mouth right there. But with Obata at short and Kumagai at second base, he said, man, we are just solid up the middle as far as defense goes.
Well, that's great, especially coming from Hirata, who was part of the 85 championship team, right?
Yeah, and he was a middle infielder as well. So, yeah. So Obata is 18 years old, was drafted just this past fall out of high school. And, you know, the big thing is that he was kind of the third shortstop off of the charts when they did the draft, right? There was, of course, Akira Neo as well as Kaito Kozono, who went to our Central League rivals. But, you know, the thing is, they keep telling Obata, like, hey, you gotta try and keep up with those guys. And I think he's really working hard to do so. And obviously, you know, as an 18-year-old, he doesn't have the physique to be the starting shortstop just yet. But maybe give it a couple of years, and he might be giving these guys a run for their money. And we might even forget that we ever had this discussion. And we might even forget about Kinami and Hojo and Ueda, you know, completely. Who knows?
Who knows? But that's good information. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm going with Ryuhei Obata. He's my guy. And prove me right, buddy. Prove me right. Okay, we're going to call that a wrap on the topic, but I would be interested to know what all of you think. Who is your choice for shortstop of the future? What do you think of the current shortstop situation? Drop us a line. Let us know, because we're a community and your opinion matters. All right, let's jump into the predictions.
What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's gonna happen? What's the record gonna be? What's gonna happen? What's the record gonna be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction.
So we're gonna finish up against the Dragons tonight. This one is a countryside game, and we have got Atsushi Mochizuki on the mound, and they've got kind of one of their second-rate starters as well, so it could be a real slugfest. Countryside Park, two pitchers that are not really ace material, and you know, it could be a real crazy one. Then we can come home for six straight, three against the Swallows, three against the Bay Stars. Then we go into Tokyo game for a three-game sweep against the Giants. Oops. and then we host the Dragons for one before, hopefully, we are back on the air in a couple of weeks' time. But by the way, that one game against the Dragons, of course, is followed by two more. And then after that, we are on the road as a team for the month of August. So anyways, any thoughts about what is coming up in those 11 games? You want to give a bold prediction about what the Tigers' record is going to be?
I'm going to give a bold prediction. Actually, maybe before I do this, I should preface it by saying that we seem to get too high at the highs and too low at the lows. And, you know,
as a show, as,
no, as fans, because it really seems good when the things are going well. Oh, actually, we may not even get high enough. We don't get as high as we should at the good times, and we get low pretty quickly when things aren't going well. So I'm kind of at the low right now, if you will. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking that the best I can call for is a 6-5 record in the next 11 games. Even with 6 games against Swallows and DeNA at home, I'm thinking that we get through that 3-3. That's kind of where I am, my mind is right now. And I want them to prove me wrong by, you know, far outperforming my expectations.
I'm gonna actually say we've hit rock bottom, and this is going to be the turnaround. It seems like the end of July has been quite friendly to us in recent years. So I'm going to say, win against the Dragons, 2-3 against the Swallows, 2-3 against the Bay Stars, 1-3 against the Giants, and win against the Dragons for a 7-4 record until we meet again. Go Tigers!
Go Hanshin!
So thank you once again for your time and your passion for these Hanshin Tigers. If you like what you've heard and want more HTN content, we've got Patreon. We're looking for patrons. Go ahead and check us out there. The link is in the show notes, and you will get an extra podcast out of that at the very least. There's more articles and extra news and all that stuff from columnist T-Ray, who is with Bunshun and Daily Sports, on the website www.thehanshintigers.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify. Find us with those four magic words that H10 stands for. Hanshin Tigers English News. Subscribe, write a review, share with your friends, your enemies. Get all the news instantly by following us on Facebook. But even more so, get all of the news plus some rants on Twitter if you follow T-Ray at the Hanshin Tiger. So Sanjay, it's been nice talking to you.
Great talking to you as well, T-Ray.
And until next time, everybody, keep on cheering until this team finds a way to score runs. Come quick, Solarte. See you all soon. See you next time, everyone. It's your ball. Come on.